Philippians chapter 1, verse number 8, same verses, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that, I love this, that ye may be sincere,
yes,
and without offense, amen, till the day of Christ. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
I want to be a sincere Christian, don't you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I want to be a sincere Christian. Hallelujah. Amen. Lady helped me out the other night, and I've done this again. I ain't brought this picture out in months and months and months, and I brought it out the other night. If Lady will help me, and then when you get done, sit right back here on this altar if you can without it falling over. Amen. Now, many of you know who that fella right there is, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes.
Amen. I believe that fella right there really got saved, Brother Tommy.
Yep. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, he did.
Just to give some of you that don't know an overview, you can go slow. Some of them may already know him. Some of them may not. I want them to see the picture of that fella right there in the middle. His name was Gary Bazenback. He got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. He was dying in St. Mary's Hospital. Had a massive heart attack. Brother Harvey had a massive heart attack, and he was about to die.
Yep.
Amen. But the Lord saved him down there in the hospital, and he lived 17 months after he got saved in that hospital. Brother Tommy was in there visiting his uncle that was dying with cancer or kidney disease. Amen. And Brother Gary Bazenback was over there in the next bed over, and he got to crying, and he said, "Hey, fellow over there, would you care to pray for me?"
Thank you.
Brother Tommy said, "I'll pray for you." And far as he said, far as he knew, he got saved down in the hospital. But when he got out, Brother Tommy told him where church was, and to find out, this road right in front of the church called Jackson Avenue, you run it all the way down to the stop sign down there on 14th Street, and there's an old gravel yard, and that old rough little apartment building, standing there with four little one-bedroom apartments, that's where Gary lived, amen. And so anyway, Brother Tommy told him, amen, where our church was, probably not expecting him to come like a lot of folks we tell, and then you never see him show up. And I tell you, on that Thursday night, he got out of church or hospital that week, and on Thursday night, it was a cold night, a winter night.
Yeah.
Amen. He showed up with stains all over his T-shirt, Brother Daniel, and the T-shirt didn't even cover the bottom part of his belly, sticking out the bottom of that T-shirt. I'll never forget that.
Oh.
Hallelujah. No pair of clogs on, Brother George, no socks, just them clogs with holes in them. Amen. No socks and a pair of jogging pants. And here he come to church one night, and he said, "I feel like I got saved out in a hospital, but I come to church tonight to make it official." Hallelujah. Amen. And he came to church, and he prayed, and got in them altars. And Brother Jamie, I've thought about it many times. I keep that picture there in my office, and every time I go in, I see that. Amen. And it's just a great reminder. I believe God put Gary Bazin back in my life just as much as he did us in his life. Amen.
Yes.
I believe that. I look at that picture, and it reminds me all the time of the love of God. Amen. He could have died, Brother Charlie, down in that hospital and went out lost without God, but God spared his life. Give him 17 more months to live. And in that 17 months, he never missed but two services. Amen. He missed one service because he had the flu or something like that. And he missed the second service because he was starting to have problems again, chest pains. And they said, told him he needed a sleep apnea machine. And he went down in the hospital and he had to stay all night. That particular night, I think it was a Thursday night, we had church. And he had to go in there and sleep and get fitted for one of them machines, and he missed that. Two nights, Brother George, in 17 months. And I'm talking about a fella that didn't know nothing about God. Amen. He didn't know nothing about God, nor did he know anything about the Bible or church. Amen. All he knew is he got a hold of something he never had in all of his life. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach to us again about God's people in a godless world. Amen. Oh, we need more people like Gary Bazenback to really get a hold of the horns to the altar. Amen.
Yes.
Some of you seen that picture there close up? Well, that doesn't look like a fellow that's about to die, Brother Tom, but 2 hours, approximately 2 hours after this picture, Sister Shirley Breedlove, Gary Basenbeck had a massive heart attack. That was on a Sunday morning. Amen. Just like this morning, a Sunday morning, we had service. Holy Ghost came by, and I will say it was one of the ironic services I've been in my life. It's one of those that stand out. Those of you that was here that morning, remember, it was really, I feel like, a home-going service. Amen? Hallelujah. We knew something just wasn't right. We sit in this house with our arms raised, tears running down our face, bawling, crying, knew something was just different in the air that day. Hallelujah. And I can't remember the story exactly, but he wanted to get a picture, and he got a picture there, and Brother me and Brother Tommy, Gary was right in the middle, and we took a picture. Hallelujah. And he was walking out of there. Hallelujah. Amen. And what did he say?
I told him, I said, if the Lord calls you home, I want you to tell my mom and dad I'm on my way. And real big joy, he said, I sure will, Brother Tommy.
Woo! Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Tommy had lost his dad not too long before that.
Yep.
Brother Tommy was Brother George Gary, I'm getting my names mixed. Brother Gary Basenbeck was walking out. Brother Tommy said, Brother Gary, if you beat me to heaven, tell my dad I love him and I'm on my way. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Brother Gary turned around, I remember that, with that big smile on his face. And he said, I'll do it. Hallelujah. I'll do it, amen. Glory to God. Amen. 5:30 that evening, I drove the church van. Her sister Kathy, I can't remember, was Sister Kathy, I dropped him off. I dropped him off that morning. Sister Kathy was driving it that night, and she pulled up about 5:30, amen, in the evening to pick him up, and no answer at the door, amen. Connie was on there, yeah. and everybody knew it wasn't something wasn't right. Gary wasn't answering the door, so she knew Gary's brother lived in one of the apartments, and he had a spare key, and they opened the door, and there was Gary, amen, laying back in that back bedroom, Brother Daniel. He had tried to get up off the bed and had that massive heart attack, and he fell straight over and had a dent in the side of that wall, amen, where his head. And there he laid, amen, 2 hours after that picture right there. Thank God. I believe him. Amen. I'm nobody's judge. I'm not your judge. I'm not even my judge, amen. I'm not anybody's judge, but I believe right there's a fella, amen, that made it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I tell you, he really got saved, amen. I could preach a message on this, but I got to move right on. I just felt like starting with that, amen. I'm talking about a fellow that was willing to do anything to get closer to God, amen. Oh, yes, Brother George, I'll never forget it. I realize cigarettes is a hard habit to shake, amen. And I knew he smoked, and I hit it. I just didn't take a 50-minute sermon and hammer cigarettes, and if you smoke a cigarette, you're going to split hell wide open, and I could have did that, amen. But several times I slipped it in my message. The Lord will help you get rid of that. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus will help you kick that habit. Hallelujah. And I kept on slipping that in there. Amen. He thought I didn't know. Amen. And we was driving down the church van one day. I'll never forget this, Brother George. He looked over at me, smiled. Hallelujah. He said, Brother Jason, I'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. And I said, what's that, Brother Gary? He smiled real big. He said, man, I've had a hard habit. I've smoked nearly all my life. And he said, I prayed and I've asked the Lord. It's about 2 weeks before he died. Amen. He said, I prayed and I've asked the Lord to help me quit smoking them cigarettes. He said, I just want you to know, I ain't had one in his name so many days. Amen. I forget how many days it been. I ain't had a cigarette in this amount of days. He said, I know you probably didn't know that, but I thank the Lord, amen, that he's getting rid of them cigarettes. Hallelujah. Hey, God, I don't know, Gary, I knew that. I've been praying with you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying God help you. Amen. Oh, amen, that we would have sincere Christians in this day and in this hour that we're there. I want to be sincere, don't you? I want to live a sincere life. And when I come into this house, amen, I'm not some fake make-believe. I just heard something the other day. Amen. How that they said that the Christian realm, the church world of things, amen, the preacher especially, amen, the ministry of a preacher is the most easily imitated of any profession, amen. You can't go in there and imitate a doctor, oh no. You can't go in there and imitate, amen, a financial specialist, amen. Oh no, You can't go in there and imitate, amen, a lot of things. I tell you, they're coming off the streets and they imitate preachers and they imitate the movement and the power of God. We're finding out now that imitation ain't getting the job done. But I come to tell you, you can be a sincere Christian. You can live a sincere life. Amen. Great God. I tell you what I believe they tell you about old Jason when they talk about me. Amen. And that little birdie comes and tell you what I believe they tell about old Jason. I believe they say, old Jason, he's pretty rough. He's pretty hard. He bleeds pretty tight. But he's real, amen. I said he's real. I know where the Lord brought me from. Great God. I said I know where he brought me from. Brother George, I don't know if I've ever told you, when you hear, but on one side of my family, Brother Harvey up there in the hills of Mingo County, amen. My dad's grandpa was a bootlegger, amen. Oh yes, he bootlegged my moonshine and was in all kinds of trouble up there. Great God. I said he was in all kinds of meanness, and they made the wrong folks mad. It was the same guy that I told the story that my kids laughed at me. Hey man, he had some kind of, they call him a warlock. And my dad said he seen it with his own eyes, and I don't believe my dad's a liar, amen. He said he could make a broom, well, cast a spell on a broom, and that broom would shuffle across the floor. He cast a spell back years ago when they raised their windows up and down all the time to let the air in. He said he cast a spell on them windows, and then windows start slamming up and down. Oh, he's a warlock, amen. That's what kind of people I come out of. He made the wrong people mad, and they killed him back in the woods, stuffed his body, cut him up in pieces, and stuffed him back in an old holler log back in them hills of Mingo County. That's what kind of bunch I come out of. Oh, amen. My grandpa on my mom's side, Brother George, he is a mechanic, made a good living, was a good man, but he drank and smoked and drank beer all of his life. Amen. And my dad said, far as he knows, amen, they call him Skeets. As his name, he said, far as I know, son, Skeets never stepped a foot in a church in all of his life. That's what kind of man Skeets was. I come tell you, Brother John, somewhere in the midst of all that, amen, my mom had two little kids. And she said, well, what we've done all through these years ain't been getting the job done. I'm going to take them to church. And my uncle and my aunt had a church down there in the curve coming out of Gilbert, West Virginia. And my mom said, I'm going to take my kids. I'm going to try going down to church. And she started taking us from just a little age. Now, I don't have no preachers in my ancestors. I don't have no preachers in my history. But thank God the Lord saved me from a young age. And he put a fire set up in my bones. I come to tell you tonight, there might be a lot of things I am. I might get a little moody. I might get a little hateful. Hey, I might get a lot of things. I'll tell you one thing. I'm sincere. I'm living to the best of my knowledge. And I want to make it to heaven. I said, I want to make it to heaven one day. I don't want to miss it for the world. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
So I preached to you the other night.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Only got point number one. Amen. Helen, if we're going to be God's people in a godless world, we got to live more consecrated lives.
Yes, sir.
I want to be consecrated, don't you?
Yes, Lord.
That's why I started off with Gary Bazemack. I believe this fellow lived what he knew.
Yeah, he did.
And that's what God's going to require out of you.
Man.
For you to live what you know.
Yeah.
Don't live a hypocrite.
Right.
You know, kids are bad for living one life in front of mom and dad in the church and living another life in the schoolhouse.
Yeah.
You don't want to live like that. Woo! Right. You know, adults kind of do the same thing.
Right.
They live one life in the church and a different life down on the job. Amen.
Right.
You don't want to do that.
Right.
Woo! I called a preacher, amen, another day. I had a business question I need to ask him. And we're just good acquaintances. And I called him up and asked him. And he said, yeah, and he asked me how I was doing. We got talking about church, amen. And he said, hey, you know, I had a job one time. He said, and I applied for a manager, boss position. He said, and they put me up, he's in the postal service. He said, they put me in the boss of that place. He said, and I found out why nobody wanted that job. He said, I nearly lost my salvation over it. He said, finally, I walked in there one day and I put my resignation down. on the route delivering mail because I'd rather go to heaven than I would with this old job. Amen. Hey, I come to tell you, amen. Oh, the people you work with, they see how you live. Amen. Are you living a real consecrated life? Hey, God. Hey, we're going to just hit for a couple minutes what I covered the other night and move right along. Do you really have a prayer life? Amen. This has been Thursday night. This has been this morning. And now we're going to hit it again tonight. Do you really have a prayer life? Amen. Is there a place that you call an altar that you can get in and call out to God when all the troubles around you hit? Oh, you need an altar. You need a prayer life when depression hits and when trouble hits and when trials hit. You need a place that you can go to, amen, and pray it through and say, God, I need you, amen.
Yes, Lord.
I mentioned several times, amen, and you hold it to me, Michelle, and I'll hold it to you. Amen. You're just as much part of the family as I am. Amen. We've done it sporadically through the years, but we need to do it more habitual.
Yes.
Amen. Have a family altar. Hey, God, get together and pray and say, ask for me and my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. Girls, I want you to make it to heaven. Boys, I want you to make it to heaven. Church family, I want you to make it to heaven. And the best advice I can give you is find an altar and learn how to pray. And you'll be able to make it. Hey, you'll be able to make it through the, amen, great God, amen, hardships of life.
Yes, Lord.
I told you this morning, it's comical, I like telling it. I'm going to tell it again.
Bless you.
Woo! Hey! Oh, preacher, I like to listen to for comedy. Amen. He said somebody come up to him one time. Even on Flauderville. Remember Flauderville from Brother James? Is that Mexican? Oh, Flauderville. He said he always wanted to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher. They said, Flauderville, why do you want to be a preacher for? He said, because preachers don't have no trouble.
Woo!
Hey, son. Great God. I got more than you got. Amen. Hey, that old sister told old Phil kid that time, said, hey, son, you ain't got no trouble. You ain't never been depressed. He said, I've been so depressed that I called the 1-800 depression hotline and I told them my troubles and my problems. Amen. They start crying. I hung up the phone and said, I can't help you. God, hey, I come to tell you, 1-800 hotline might hang up on you. I know what I call Sister Shirley Breedlove in the middle of the hour, in the middle of the night, when the devil's ripping my mind apart, and I don't know which way's up or down. I've been there before. I said, I've been there before. And I had to say, Lord, will you help me? And he helped me, and he touched me, and he came by in the middle of the night. Amen.
Thank you, I've been there.
When Raylan had that high fever, and us preachers are bad for this, the more I tell, the higher that fever gets. I don't remember how high it is. You have to ask her, because I got the call numbers on it. She said I'm stretching it. Regardless, I don't care if it's 103 or 105, it's still temperature.
That's right.
Raylan had that high fever, and here she was, this little baby. We used to do parents, we didn't know what to do. She's lifeless. You ever see a little baby lifeless? Had that high fever. We called the doctor. We did this. We did that. They told us everything to do. Nothing worked. Way up, we hours in the morning. Michelle's crying. I was crying. What are we going to do? I said, let's go down to the mercy room. That's all right. We've done everything we know to do. All we can do is go to the mercy room. And we just get her clothes on, Brother George, get her and go to the mercy room. And Michelle said, we forgot to pray. We ain't prayed yet. Let's ask the Lord, see what he'd do about it. Amen. When it's your kid getting sick like that, great God. I mean, when Wesley got knocked out up in that bedroom, amen, somebody, Emma stuff came to say they got a pulse. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't even think about it. I'm a nurse, and when it's your kids, you don't even think about checking their pulse. Amen. All I want to do is wake up. Amen. Great God. But anyway, amen, there she was lifeless, and we prayed. And we said, oh, God, could you touch her? Baby, she's lifeless. Amen. Would you touch her? Brother Harvey, we did everything we knew to do. And finally, it was just a matter of moments. Amen. She per
worked up. She got to running around playing, and that fever lived. Hey, God, I come to you, pray about it, amen. Hey, I might not get through the second time. You need to learn how to pray about it. You need to learn how to put it in God's hands and leave it alone. I said, put it in the hands of God and leave it alone. He can do more about it than you can. I said, he can do more about it than you can. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Just pray.
Thank you, bless you, God.
Study the Word of God. Read the Word.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Yes, that's your kids' next Sunday school assignment. Give me a paper up back here. And if you don't want to sign it, then put a check mark on one of the numbers. Give me about 10 or 15 numbers. We ought to have out of this crowd, size crowd, we ought to have 15 or 20 of you read the Word of God through this year. Woo! And I'm not boasting at all. But I've already finished, amen. Great God. I've already went through it, amen. Amen. So write my name up there. Write your, we need to read His Word through, church. It ain't just up to the preacher to read it through. It ain't just up to the man of God. I told you when the year turned over, January. Amen. Read 4 chapters a day. And you'll read it through really in about 8 months' time. Hey, God. Just 4 chapters a day. You give more time in that to social media. You give more time in that to the newspaper. You give more time in that to every other thing that carries your time away. Oh, amen. Oh, I just wonder what would happen if we get a church again that learned how to pray and learned how to read His Word. Amen. And learned how to push the play back and fast. I believe we could have some power. I believe we could lay hands on the sick and they recover. I believe we'd have revival and souls would be saved by the 20s and 30s like they used to be. Oh, God, would you make me hungry? Oh, God, would you get me hungry again? Amen.
Get us a paper, one for the Bible, and one for fasting. We ain't found a day yet. But Brother George has challenged us.
Yes, he has.
To take a day a week and fast. Well, I can't go all day. Well, surely you can go breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Or cut one of them out.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. Amen. I don't care what day we pick. Somebody and say, well, that's such day. I don't know. Amen. We're getting ready to pick one up. About a Tuesday or a Wednesday, Thursday. I don't care. Woo. And fast. Amen. Fast that the Lord would strengthen us.
Yes.
Strengthen our families.
Yes,
make us more spiritual. Fast that the Lord would bind us. Fast that the Lord would strengthen our churches. Fast. Amen. That the Lord would help us reach the lost. Fast that I'd be a more sincere Christian. Fast that I'd push the world back and really get a hold of God. Oh, I come to tell this church that's what we need. We need to be more consecrated in this day. I love what Brother Tommy said this morning about Smith Wigglesworth. But old Lester Summer all come to see him. Amen. With that newspaper under his arm and his hat in his hand. He was coming for prayer meeting and he said, oh, no. You're talking about probably 50 years ago or more. Amen. This is how the men of God did back then. Oh, no. He said, don't bring that newspaper in my house. I wish that's all we had to deal with today was a newspaper. Hey, don't bring that newspaper in my house. Great God. And so he said, he left her outside and they went in there and they prayed 30 minutes. He said, he never heard nobody. Amen. I've read or heard that too. He never heard nobody pray like Wigglesworth prayed. Amen. Then they read the Word of God for 30 minutes. You ought to try that. Pray 30 minutes. Read His Word 30 minutes. Pray 30 minutes. Read His Word. If you did a round of that 2 times, 2 hours worth of that, you'd come out of that closet ready to fight the devil. You'd come out of that closet ready to have revival.
Thank you, Lord.
God has no hands, but you are His hands.
That's the truth.
Woo!
God, amen.
Did you know that? You're His hands.
Yes.
Right. You're His feet.
Amen.
You're You're his arms. Hear me.
Yes,
you're his mouthpiece.
Amen.
Hey, God.
That's right.
Oh, he can do it. God can do it if he wants to.
Yes,
amen. But he has designed it in the fashion that he depends on me and you. Woo! And I told you the other night, and I don't mean to knock your hobby horse off. Amen. But I've heard people say, oh, I'm tired of living down here in this old sinner world. I'm tired of living down here amongst the bushes. Great God, that's God's design. That's how he planned it. You're to live amongst the sinners so that you'd rub off on the sinner. Great God. Hey, I love when old Paul wrote that letter back and he said, I salute thee that be of Caesar's house. Have you ever thought about that? Hey, Nero was the Caesar that day. He is the most wicked man in all the world. How did there ever get to be saints in Caesar's house? I'll tell you how there was. Hey, there's about 16 of them at a time chained up to old Paul. Woo! Hallelujah! Did you hear that? There's about 16 of them at a time chained up to Paul. Hey, God. Amen. Paul, are you chained up down there? Oh, no. I'm not chained up. Amen. I've got a ministry. I've got a chain ministry going on down here. Amen. In this hired house. Hey. Until they got so many of them saved, they had to change them out to get some more wicked ones watching him. And then they got them saved. I come to tell you, there is a work to be done. Prayer, study, faithful Christian duty, daily walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
Are you as strong as Christian today as you was last year?
We ought to be
stronger.
Yes, sir.
I'm just preaching to you the burden of my heart tonight, church.
Lord.
Come on, bro.
Are you as strong tonight as you was a year ago?
Come on, bro.
You ought to be stronger. You ought to be climbing.
Yes, God.
Woo! We ought to be growing in graves. Hallelujah. Amen. Showing appreciation for Christ. Oh, yes. Amen. Showing appreciation for what he's done. Live a more consecrated life. Oh, yes. That's what a preacher meant. Amen. Live a more consecrated life. Amen. I believe we make an impression on those around us, don't you? Oh, yes. I believe we make an impression on our spouses if they're not saved. Amen. If we were consecrated. Hey, God. I believe we'd make an impression on our co-workers if we was consecrated. I believe we'd make an impression on everybody around us if we lived a consecrated life. Amen. All right, I'll preach for two sermons nearly on that one. Let's move on. We need to have a more deeper devotional life.
That's the truth. Oh, God.
And we've already hit some of this, but I'm afraid that the only time anybody, some people rather, has his Bible studies right here in the house of God.
Amen.
Bless
Amen.
Amen.
I preach it to you, try to help you tonight.
Come on, bro.
Bless I tell you, a lot of people, when they leave the house of God, they throw that Bible in the back window, and it sits and gathers dust all week long until they come back.
Oh, God.
Come on, bro.
Oh, Lord. No.
And then church time comes, and we get back there in the back hatch. We have that old dusty Bible out, put it in our arms, and we'll walk into church.
Come on.
You need a deeper devotional life.
Jesus.
You need to cry from that closet. Cry out from that closet.
Amen.
It's time to pray.
Amen.
It's time to seek me. We need a deeper devotional life. We need a deeper devotion. Great God, I told you this morning, I'll say it again tonight. You say, I ain't got time for it. I know today gets by and this is done and that's done. But you really ain't got time for all that. I really don't believe a whole lot of all that stuff because we've got time to read everything else under the sun.
That's the truth.
Okay?
Yep.
Amen. But I got a solution to your problem. Schedule. Get you a schedule book. Get you a calendar. Amen. And on every day, you schedule yourself 30 minutes. I can't pray 30 minutes. Pray 15 minutes. Read the Bible 30 minutes.
Bless
you. Start off somewhere. You can't. I probably can't even run a mile now. I used to be able to run a mile pretty good. I ain't exercised so long. I've been bouncing on the back of the motor anymore. But I ain't exercising so long, Brother George. I wouldn't be able to start off with a mile. You know what I'd have to do? I'd just have to start off Rest walking 5 or 10 minutes, whatever, you know?
Man.
Whew, you got to start off somewhere.
Yeah.
I said, you got to start off somewhere.
Right.
Hallelujah. Schedule it. Schedule it. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. Now.
Yes.
Schedule it. Amen. I don't know if you're a morning person. If you're a morning person, 8:30, schedule yourself. This is God's time in my life.
Right.
If you're a night person, schedule it. 9 to 9:30. This is God's time right here in my life. Everybody else out of the way. Amen. Or family, rather. Amen. Schedule your family. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. Ask for me at my house.
Yeah.
We're going to put God first right here. Yeah. Amen. America's homes and families have split and busted because we don't have time for God anymore. Our churches have split and busted because we don't have time for God anymore. Hey, I come to tell this church, it's time, amen, to live a godly life in a godless generation.
Yes.
I got to move on. Deeper devotion.
Oh, yes.
Pray, study, read. God still answers prayer, don't he?
Yes, he does.
My, how God.
Glory.
It is said that Martin Luther often spent from 4 to 6 hours in prayer. And oftentimes when he got busy, he would spend more time. Hallelujah.
My Lord.